Good afternoon, London. Welcome on this very, very wet, dark, and dank day to your source of illumination and brightness. Yes, this is the Andrew Lawton Show, your complete home for modesty and irreverence. Of course, it is Canada's most irreverent talk show. You're listening to AM 980. So good to have you with us here today. And I was pretty happy coming into work this morning. Yeah, I like my job. I like most of my coworkers. And I mean, you too, Travis. And the problem is, I haven't been given a raise of 144%. Now, I don't expect one. I didn't even know it was on the table until I saw this story. Apparently, government workers are getting 144% increases in their wages. We'll be talking about that in just a couple of moments as well later on in the program. The OLG, the Ontario Lottery and Gaming Corporation, is trying to roll out online gambling. They actually already have a company lined up. They're on their way to getting it to the point where everyone can start playing in Ontario. We'll be talking about whether that's a good idea or not. And in about an hour's time, this is a follow-up to a story we did a couple of weeks ago. You remember the crack pipe vending machines, Travis?
Yeah, Vancouver.
Yeah, well, the brilliant luminaries that brought us the crack pipe vending machines have now decided to do something that I think is even more ridiculous. We'll be talking about that later on in the program. But first, I wanted to talk about this story here. The CEO of CCAC Southwest, the Community Care Access Center, a government agency, it's under the banner of the Ministry of Health. A lot of people refer to it colloquially as ComCare. It is community care and nurses, similar to VON, for example, for people in the community to get care in their own homes, to get any number of services they need. And obviously, it costs money to run the program. The CEO, a woman by the name of Sandra Coleman, she started working there in 2006. Salary, $117,869. All right, that's a lot of money. That is a big chunk of change. Well, 8 years later, she's making approximately $288,000, an increase of 144%. Joining me now is Al Gretzky, former political candidate activist with the Freedom Party of Ontario. Al, this sounds like a pretty good deal, doesn't it?
It sounds like an absolutely wonderful deal, Andrew. I have been looking online all morning since I read that, trying to find out how I can get in on this.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem. I mean, if they have this amount budgeted, I want a piece of that action.
Hey, listen, here's I don't know about the rest of your listeners or yourself, but I'll tell you, if there's one thing or one line that I keep hearing that I am more sick and tired of than any other, and that is the precious one that says, we have to pay the most to get the best. And for the best, look what we've gotten. We've gotten Orange. We've gotten eHealth. We've gotten the Pan Am Games. So I have a suggestion for these people who believe that we should get the best. Maybe, just maybe, we should try getting maybe third best or fourth best, and then those people would really work harder to do the job. Does that sound fair?
Yeah, you know, and one of the things that Coleman said as sort of a defense of her salary, apart from, well, I don't set the salary, and she's right, she doesn't. I mean, if someone offers you a check, you say thank you and you put it in your pocket. But we are talking about taxpayer money here. We're not talking about a private corporation. We're not talking about a woman who has negotiated, proven her worth, and a company that has decided, hey, this is going to be the best bang for our buck to the shareholders. We are the shareholders, and we don't have a say in this at all. And that's what I find the most offensive about such a salary anyway. Even, I would argue, her starting salary was probably on the high end. And, you know, it's maybe going to go up a couple of percentage points here and there as time goes on. But when we're talking about close to $300,000, I think someone has to say, okay, enough is enough.
Yeah, and one of the other points, which feeds right off of that, is the thing that if they have that much money to throw around on that particular job and any other number of jobs that they're doing that with, and CEOs, does it not make people stop to say, just maybe they're taking a little bit too much of our taxpayer dollars, and maybe they should be cutting back on that?
Well, and here's exactly the point here. And they are cutting back on their spending in other ways, the ways that would actually benefit patients. They're cutting back on how much support workers are paid, on how much they're allowed to visit certain patients, on how much, you know, the actual people who are supposed to benefit from CCAC care do. And a personal support worker who does home care through Community Care Access Center makes $12.50 an hour.
Correct. Now, when it comes to those frontline workers, let's look at it exactly the same way they're looking at it with the CEOs. So basically what I'm reading from them, and I'm not trying to be flippant in these comments at all, I'm really quite serious, that is that they're paying them $12.50 an hour. Are they saying that the best people for the job aren't available out there, and that's why they're only paying $12.50 an hour? I mean, Andrew, I don't know about you, but I certainly wouldn't want to accept an extra $1.50 for the responsibility of having to be looking after another human being and what that entails, rather than getting minimum wage at $11 and flipping burgers. I'm sorry, I'll take flipping the burgers.
Oh, yeah, and I mean, when you look at a lot of the other sort of related costs, a lot of the PSWs, and that's obviously one component of the service that CCAC offers, but the PSWs, they need to pay for their own mileage in a lot of cases. They drive their own vehicle. They had to pay for an education. Fast food workers don't. And really, they're paid a paltry $12.50 an hour. Now, if that is the market value, okay, if that is genuinely what they'd be worth in a private sector environment, all right, I'm not going to say that's not true, but if we look at that relative to the CEO, we're talking about, I mean, thousands of dollars that this woman is being paid, and what are we as taxpayers, the ones paying her, getting for that?
Well, the question that I have goes along that idea is, why is it that we as a taxpayer, the bosses, why aren't we allowed to see the reasons that were used by the CCAC to give this woman the raises that she does? I mean, they're saying, well, no, you can't see that because there's stuff in there you shouldn't be able to see. I'm sorry, I'm the boss. I'm paying these wages. You better be able to show me what it is. And you notice how interesting it is that when the hits the fan, that suddenly people involved aren't available for comment?
Well, and you touch on an interesting part of this, Alan, I think a very important one, which is the process of this. Okay, if you want to pay the head of an agency, and I get that you do need to attract good talent, a decent wage like this. And, I mean, decent, I think, is the most sort of understated term I could use there. Okay, justify it. What are you getting for that? And I'm looking at some of the arguments they've said, and one of them is that she has a budget of $200 million that she's managing, and she's claiming that she has saved the Ontario taxpayers $10 million a year by serving them at home rather than having them in a hospital. Well, you're not really saving the taxpayers' money by not sending them to a hospital. You're just spending the money under a different department's budget.
Yeah, literally. It's the money's still going out regardless of where she's spending it, so I'm not sure. I suppose she would be able to show me if I went in and said, show me how you've saved me that money. I'm sure she has a list of things that she's done to do that. You know, but anyway, the other one gets me about this performance. They're paid for her performance to save the money. Andrew, have you ever heard of a CEO in a public sector wherever who actually was told, you know what, you didn't meet what you were supposed to do, you're going to take a pay cut? Has that ever happened to your knowledge?
No, and you know, I'm actually completely on board with the idea of merit-based pay or at least merit-based incentives, especially if the person can prove empirically they saved this many millions of dollars. But no, what actually happens, Alan, you're absolutely right, the CEO bilks the taxpayers, as we see in Orange, as we saw in eHealth, and gets a multi-million dollar severance package at the end of it all anyway.
But yeah, and really it comes down to the fact of, well, and we hear this not only in her case, but in firemen, policemen, any other organization. Well, we have to match the dollars that are paid by other organizations or other groups or other cities. You know, what we've lost, we have lost the integrity. The people who do the hiring and firing have lost the integrity and the will to be able to pay a person based on their personal value, not in comparison to anyone else, but literally in comparison to the job that they can do. We've lost that in society. It's all a matter of, it's that same old big paintbrush. Well, we'll make them all equal. That's just not the way it should be.
No, and also I think it's important to note here, I know a lot of people like to make fun of lawyers, and it's easy, and I'm not going to say I haven't done it, but this woman was a lawyer before she had the job of CEO. Now, I'm not saying at all that's a knock against her, but it's not even like she's coming into this job from a background of running healthcare organizations. It's not like she's done this before specifically, and I'm certain she's qualified, but it's not like she has any sort of special experience that makes her, as we're being told, that best person for the job.
Yeah, literally. And when she says she's saved the taxpayer $10 million, I'm wondering whether somewhere in there that has something to do with the 60% turnover that they have in staff. And some of that money saved is because there just aren't enough staff to go around. So if you don't have to pay for people to work for you, you really are saving money. Like you said, she's saving it, but she's saving it in all the wrong ways.
Well, and, you know, Al, the whole $10 million, I have to wonder, I didn't get my check yet, have you? So, I mean, do I call her to ask for my $10 million, or and my portion of it, anyway? I know I don't get the whole $10 million. That's at least, what, $3 or $4, you know, for a Londoner, I'm sure?
Listen, that's a couple of shots at a Timmy's roll-up.
Well, yeah, those haven't been working out for me too well, though, this year.
I know. And it was interesting when you look at the last paragraph in that article is probably one of the most telling one of all. It is the bureaucratic baffle-gab in there that gives a perfect example of why our current health minister is just inept. That's all you can say, because her... What she says about what's going on is that she's seeing to it that the people, the patients, are getting the best bang for the buck. I don't think so, Andrew.
No, totally agree. Al Gretzky, former political candidate, activist with the Freedom Party of Ontario. Appreciate your time this afternoon, sir.
It's my pleasure, Andrew.
All right, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, going to take your calls on Sandra Coleman's $288,000 salary. Yeah. Not only is she making close to $300,000, she's been given a raise of 144%. Literally, $170,000 of a raise over her initial $118,000 salary. Does that sound reasonable? Give me a call. Let's talk. 519-643-2222 or 1-866-354-8255. This is The Andrew Lawton Show on AM 980. Welcome back to the program. Sandra Coleman is the CEO of CCAC Southwest Local. So that's Community Care Access Center here in London. And they serve a pretty big area. Now, as part of the background of this pay increase, which, in case you're just tuning in, she was making in 2006 $117,869. Now, 8 years later, less than 8 years later, actually, she's making about $288,000. That was last year. This year, it may even be a little bit more. Who knows? A raise of 144%. Well over double what she was making when she started. And some people are lucky to get, $1,000, $2,000 a year. She's managed to get $170,000 added on to her already generous salary, including benefits, in a very short span of time. Now, you have to look at this relative to when she was hired. Okay, I'm willing to accept that $118,000 is a reasonable salary. I'm willing to accept $120,000, $130,000. I never really thought of the position before. I wasn't aware of how well it paid. I think I picked the wrong line of work, frankly. But I'm willing to accept that, okay, a six-figure salary is probably reasonable, even if it's something that's probably not attainable for most people. I get that. I do. We're looking at close to $300,000. We're looking, in many cases, to more than most federal cabinet ministers make. Actually, that's, substantially almost as much as the prime minister makes, if not almost identical to his salary. Lots of people in the public sector and private sector will never, ever make this much money. And I'd argue that's a good thing. I don't think anyone in the public sector should be making this much money. I think it's great if the private sector is paying people this. I think it's great if people can get that much in the way of private money. But we're dealing with someone who is earning our money. And earning is a very, very generous term. Let's talk about this. 519-643-2222 or 1-866-354-8255. When we look at the other workers there, there are many other executives and top earners there that are all making over $100,000. They have 20 executives at CCAC who are on the Sunshine List, which means they made over 100 grand. That was in 2012. Now, her rise in salary is not just her. In fact, all of the people who share her post at the other CCAC regional offices in Ontario had a similar trajectory. And guess who was behind it? The Liberal government under George Smitherman as health minister, the same brilliant man that brought us the orange scandals and e-health scandals where billions and billions were lost there. He, in one case, reduced the number of CCAC offices to 14. There used to be a lot more, so that's a good cutback. The problem is, then he balloons the salary of the people working at them. Most of them have pay packages north of $250,000, according to a piece by Jonathan Schur in the London Free Press. And they won't even share the report from the consultant that allegedly talks about all the reasons why they should be paid this much. We're supposed to foot the bill, not ask any questions at all. Aren't you just so happy with your government, people? 519-643-2222 is the number, or 1-866-354-8255. Chris, go ahead, sir.
Good day, sir.
Good day to you.
I went from abled with two legs to disabled with one leg and used CCAC quite a bit. They're talking about the wrong levels. They're not giving the frontline workers anything.
No, the frontline workers are making $12.50 an hour, which is not much more than someone at McDonald's is making, frankly.
And that's my issue. The CEO, she may have a background in finance and budgeting and all that nonsense. That's terrific. A lot of people do, and a lot of computer programs have it. You don't need to pay that kind of money to get quality people. What you do is need to pay that kind of money to get better paid frontline workers, and I'm not saying quality because they're very, very good and they work very hard. But I tend to talk a bit of politics when they drop by, and they work a lot of hours. They have a caseload that's doubled. They have a difficult time getting through their entire day, whereas the CEO gets through her day very fine. Not a problem. I have no problem with frontline workers getting a 144% increase, but the CEO, absolutely no way. I'll guarantee you, you put out the call, and you will get a lot of people wanting that job.
Yeah, and when it comes down to it, I think that PSWs and RPNs, I mean, they're people that do a lot of the less glamorous work of healthcare. And I know, similar to you, I mean, for different reasons, obviously, but I've had CCA care as well in the past in the home. And they were always very professional. They were always very good. They weren't doing hard work, but they were doing things that I couldn't do myself. And yeah, they are, I think, paid very low. But certainly, I don't think the answer to saying we're putting more into healthcare is to balloon the CEO's salary to close to $300,000 a year.
Totally and absolutely agree with you. We see that in all levels of healthcare. They talk about healthcare spending, but the spending is all being dumped at the top management level. The spending is not being dumped in extra staff in the hospitals, in extra nurses, in extra physiotherapists. They're not being put into any of that. It's being put into CEO salaries, which absolutely don't help the people that are sitting at home right now getting CCA staff coming by their house.
I appreciate the call, Chris. Thank you very much. I got an email from Joy. It says, the patients suffer. Well, they give themselves. I'm so disgusted I could vomit. It's our money. Just up taxes. And that's the thing. We're led to believe that Sandra Coleman, and look, by the way, I'm not picking on her specifically. She may be a fantastic employee. She may be great. But for her to say she saved $10 million, I haven't gotten a check back. I haven't gotten a tax reduction for that $10 million. It doesn't help me. All she's done is had the money spent other places. Gwyneth, go ahead.
Yeah, I've known Al for years. I'm not even going to discuss what the problems with the Ontario government, because it's going to go on and on and on. Until we can get a new government in Ontario, and I'm going to really push the Freedom Party, because I was involved years ago, but it's now coming back, and it's registered now, and they're on the ballot. Al's name's going to be on the ballot, and for anyone, like I'm a bit of a dinosaur. I don't have computer stuff, but you can find all about the Freedom Party, because this is the only hope, as far as I'm concerned. If anyone thinks that the PCs are going to do anything, forget it. And certainly not the NDP. But I did ask Al some time ago. I said, "Would you mind giving your name?" He said, "Not at all." So I just heard him on the air. So here, you know, I'd urge people to call up and find out about the Freedom Party, because that's the only way we're going to have anything accomplished in this province, because it's pathetic.
I appreciate the call, Gwyneth. Thanks for that. Yeah, I wasn't even talking about the political party element of this specifically, but I think if we're talking about the problem here, you have to go after the head of the snake. And I'm sorry, but what better metaphor to talk about the Liberal government than using the snake? Because frankly, it's absolutely absurd. The wastefulness is disgusting. And every time I do a story, I have a printed version of it, or a printed article or stack of articles to reference to look at. If I were to not recycle those after every show, and by recycling I mean put in the garbage, and I saved all the ones about provincial government scandals, do you realize how tall that stack would be? Literally, it would be absurd. We got to take a break for news here. When we come back, more of Canada's most irreverent talk show. This is the Andrew Lawton Show on AM 980.